Do you love me? Okay, not me. I've got a wife that loves me very much. We've got a baby, Joshua, on the way. There's testimony of that love. But it's actually Jesus tonight that's asking every one of you, do you love me? And I'm going to ask us, well, first of all, if Jesus had to walk in here tonight and he had to ask us, do you love me? By show of hands, okay, because I want everyone to be very honest tonight. Do you love him? Just by show of hands, we just be honest. We can say we love Jesus, all right? So if I had to ask you, how many of us are presently walking a road of faith with someone else, or walking a road alongside someone else that's in need of just a friend or a companion or someone new they can share the word with or just grow alongside? Just by a show of hands, how many people? Okay, I'm sort of half a hand. Okay, how many of us spend more time praying and thinking about the people in our church and their needs than we do our own needs? Okay, how many of us are actively seeking opportunities to be involved in building the kingdom of God and encouraging, edifying other believers through the gifts that God has given us? Oh, half a hand for me. Yeah. So this is a word for all of us, that's for sure. So how many of us can honestly say that our lives are surrendered completely to the purpose of God and we actively seek his will daily? Okay, half a hand maybe. Okay, so do you love me? And we're going to start, we're going to read John 21, 15 to 17. Jesus asked Peter the same question. So when they'd eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Now Jesus says to him, do you love me? The love that Jesus is talking about is agape love. Okay? It's to be fond of, to love dearly, to be content with, to be completely devoted to. And that's the love Jesus asked him. Do you love me, Peter? And Peter says, Lord, you know that I love you. But Peter says, I love you with filial love. Okay? Which is to prove to be affectionate. So if I had to, I was thinking about it, to draw up a comparison, it would be like when you first start going out with someone, or, you know, there's sort of the lots of butterflies and all that sort of thing. And that sort of filial love, it's great. There's some attraction there and a bit of excitement. But agape love is that deep love. And it's amazing, like, I was just thinking about my marriage with Debs and just thinking how much we've grown in love for one another. And you begin to understand what that agape love is. That agape love that would die for someone else, that you lay down your life for someone else. And that's the love Jesus asking. Peter, are you willing to lay down your life for me? Do you love me? And he said to him, feed my lambs. And he said to him a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said to him, tend my sheep. And he said to him a third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Now you can imagine how hard it was for Peter to hear those words. Three times he asked him, do you love me? And interestingly, the last time Jesus actually asked him, do you love me, with filial love. He doesn't say agape, he says filial, because Jesus, he realized that Peter's not at that place yet. He understands and comprehends what agape love is, but Jesus is. Because Jesus went to the cross for him. Jesus died for him. Jesus gave everything for us, for the church, for all of us, for Peter. And Peter could only respond with filial love. And I just thought, like, it must have been tough for Peter. He'd walked a road with Jesus, being one of his disciples. And he probably thought, along with everyone else, you know, hanging around Jesus, sort of seeing Jesus perform all these amazing miracles. You know, one day, you know, they're going to kind of hang out with Jesus and it's going to be so cool. Jesus is going to rule in Jerusalem and he's going to be awesome. I don't know how many of you have seen the movie Kung Fu Panda. It says awesomeness. You know, there's that awesomeness. It's going to be absolutely awesome with Jesus. It's going to be cool hanging out with Jesus and seeing him conquer the world, to change the nation, to change Jerusalem and to rule. And we're going to be right there with him in his coolness, in his awesomeness. And I just thought, and then Jesus comes and said to him, Peter, do you love me? Three times. I mean, in this, and it must have been just an absolute shock. But of course I love you. I love you, Lord. I love you. Of course I do. But Jesus asked him something deeper. Do you love me with agape love? And he says to him three things. Feed my lambs, tend my sheep, and feed my sheep. Peter knows that agape love goes beyond human love. It goes beyond the love that we understand. And it's a devotional love that requires complete surrender. And Peter wasn't at that place. And I guess, I think that's what I love about Peter is his absolute rawness. Not, I'm Peter, just in case anyone doesn't know. But Peter is just absolutely just himself. And I think that's why Jesus, I don't know, he's just so fond of him. And this example, Jesus didn't ask anyone else, but he asked Peter. And yes, Peter denied him 3 times, but he wanted to show everyone else through Peter's life something. And I just love the way Peter, he gets emotional, he gets excited about things, you know, he cuts the guy's ear off, and that's Peter. But the amazing thing is just who he is. And he said to Jesus, I love you with filial love, and that's where I'm at. And maybe that's a question for, I hold before all of us tonight. Maybe we're not at the place where we can say to Jesus, Lord, I'm willing to lay down my life. I'm willing to tend the sheep, to feed the sheep, to feed the lambs. Because Jesus is talking about the body of Christ. He's talking about us here tonight. And that's really my message tonight. It's about the body of Christ and the love that we have for one another. Because that's what Jesus left Peter with. And tonight I'm holding that before all of us. Are you willing to feed the lambs, to tend the sheep, and to feed the sheep? Care for one another. In John 10:11 we read, I'm the good shepherd. Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd. And the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Now Jesus, we know he didn't come to this earth to be served or to receive. We know that he came to give. We know that he came to serve us. We know that he came to die for this world. And it wasn't easy. Okay, we know that he sweated blood in Gethsemane. It was tough for him. But there was one thing that is just always, I think, like always in his heart, is that he knows he's doing the will of the Father. He's doing what he knows is the right thing to do. And it's not easy to lay your life down for someone else, especially maybe if that person's hurt you or that person's offended you. We know it's often the people that we love the most that actually hurts us the most. Isn't that true? But Jesus came, and he's the ultimate example of that love. And he came as the shepherd. And he says, I will lay my life down for the sheep. And I know with Debs that I will lay my life down for her. I have that agape love for her. I will lay my life down. I will save her life. And that's the heart of the shepherd. That is the heart of Jesus. He will give everything for the body of Christ. Because this body belongs to him. And we are his. And he wants us to shepherd one another. He wants us to care for one another in the same way that he loves us and cares for us, to give our lives for one another. In Luke 15:47, Jesus says, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I found my 1 sheep which was lost. I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over 1 sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need repentance. If we know of someone in the body of Christ that has fallen away or that is on the rocky road, do we go the extra mile to make sure that person is restored, is brought back into the fold, is discipled, encouraged, so that that person can also experience God in relationship with God in the same capacity that we do? Do we go that extra mile? And I know it's a hard word tonight, because I tell you, when I was preparing for this, and I can just share like how much God has done in my life just in relationships in the last month. And I asked God, I went down yesterday on my knee, and I just said, God, show me what your heart is for the body of Christ. And you know, I wept for an hour. I've never sobbed like that in all my life. And I said to Debs, I just said, God is so awesome. And he's doing something so awesome in the church. And I just believe this is a word for the church today. God wants us to be restored so that we can restore one another. God wants us to look out for one another. He wants us to love one another, to care for one another, to fight for relationship with one another. And It's amazing, just been so challenged in relationships. But you know, just this last 2 weeks, we've had to restore relationship with two people, and it's amazing. Just, we know when it's hard in the beginning, but you know when restoration comes, you know that your relationship is stronger. Do you know that it's incredible? And it's something when God is in the middle of it, when there's a relationship that's not working out and God comes into the middle of that, you know that relationship, when it's restored, is restored 100-fold because God is so faithful. And I've seen that. And yeah, it's just incredible to see, you know, how when you surrender those things to God, that God intervenes and God meets you at those needs. We expect about God to lay down our needs, the comfort of the friends that we might already have. Because when someone in the body, when there's a need, and that person might not be someone that we easily relate to or someone that we can easily just go up to and we say maybe befriend, you know, that's exactly the person that you need to go befriend. That's exactly the person that you need to go the extra mile for. Because that person, if that person needs Jesus, it's our responsibility. When God looks at the body of Christ, He looks at every single one of us. And if one part is sick, the body is sick. Because the whole body is infected. The whole body suffers. And we can go on and we can do church and all that. But you know, God is interested in that one sheep. Just the one. And He will go back again and again and again and again for that one sheep. And it's amazing when I think back, like, I gave my life to the Lord when I was 10. And I guess when I look back, it's definitely an experience where my life, I experienced an incredible joy because I got baptized. And it was an incredible joy and a release in my life. I don't know how to explain it. But the thing is, I wasn't discipled. No one walked a path with me. I mean, yeah, I was 10. I kind of just went on with life. My parents were Christians. And I guess, you know, by the time I sort of got into high school, I'd just fallen away from relationship completely with God. But the concept, you know, just the fact that there was a God, I believe that because I know that I experienced a part of God. But, you know, it was only when I gave my life again to the Lord in 2002, came to Shof, and God did an awesome work in my life. I just remember receiving the word. So someone preached the word, and I believed that there's a God that loves me, God, and Jesus Christ that died for me. And it was by faith. It was completely by faith. I didn't know how I got there that day. I hadn't been in church for months, and really church was just a religious act. But that day, someone invited me, and I went to church. And again, there it is. Someone invited me. I don't know how, but I got there that day. I mean, I was still sleeping off a hangover that afternoon, and it's incredible. I mean, I got out of bed, went to church, got there, heard the word, and got saved. And my life was changed completely. Got full with the Holy Spirit, began speaking in tongues straight away, and just the power of God just came over my life. And I just understood who Jesus was and that He died for me and became such a reality in my life. But the difference, what I'm trying to say, the difference is that from that point, someone came and said, right, I'm discipling you. You're going to walk alongside me. I'm going to make sure that you get to where God wants you to go because I see the potential that God sees in you. And that's what we need to maybe begin to pray. We need to begin to ask God, Lord, the person next to me, the person in my home group, the person in this church, God, show me, God, what you see in them. I want to begin to see that, Lord. I want to encourage them and I want to bless them into the calling that you have on their lives. And that's what they did. I went to home group. Someone discipled me. Someone walked a path with me. They taught me principles that God wanted me to learn. One story I remember, we were in Nigeria. I was out there with Pastor Sias and a couple other guys. And I remember... this was, I think, a year after I'd been saved. So I was just, I mean, it was an amazing year. I was completely just on fire for God. I just wanted to go, you know, to the ends of the earth and tear up Africa and, you know, see people get saved and see Jesus' name just blaze across that continent. And but I hadn't learned the little things. Just learning how to submit and learning obedience. And I remember, like, myself and someone else, we decided, no, we're going to pour... because in Nigeria, you know, you have to drink bottled water all the time, just in case you meet the throne of judgment, the white throne of judgment. But So we decided we're going to add some of this Nigerian water into, you know, sort of one of these distilled water bottles and leave it outside CS's door, you know. So he's going to drink, because we had to go get water every day. But when they smelt it, they knew, him and someone else, that this isn't distilled, you know, whatever, even sparkling Swiss water. And the thing was that they could have got very sick. And so he called myself and this other guy, no names mentioned. And I thought he was half joking. You know, he says, "Look, what you've done here isn't good, because one of us could have been sick. And I think as a lesson that you need to learn, you're going to have to wash 2 pieces of clothing from every person. And Nigeria is a hot place. And the clothes, I tell you, after a day, they smell." I'm just thinking, Lord, this is going to be underwear and socks and all this stuff. But anyway, in the end, it wasn't. There was grace for us. But that was a lesson that I had to learn about being in Nigeria and just submitting to authority. And if someone hadn't walked that path with me, I wouldn't have learned that. Someone hadn't stepped into my life. And it's amazing, all along the way, and I've got this one friend in South Africa. It's amazing. We go on holiday with him, and he's great. We have amazing fellowship, and he's an awesome friend. Things are going so well. Holiday's great. And at the end of the holiday, he says, "Yeah, look, I've been noticing that this is wrong in your life. That's wrong. And you must sort them out." And I'm like, "Cool, you know, thanks." And then I'm like, "Yeah, but don't forget, you've got this, and this." And then he's like, "Okay, great." And we go away and we work through it, because that's someone that is committed to me, and is committed to seeing God's purposes fulfilled in my life. Okay, second thing, be like-minded and seek unity. So God wants us to be one unit, to think alike, the body of Christ, because where there's unity, God commands a blessing. So we read in Romans 15, 5-7, "Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded towards one another, according to Christ Jesus, that you may be with one mind, and one mouth, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." We are meant to be one-minded with one voice. One song, one heart, one Christ, one baptism, one Savior, one Lord, one God. We are meant to be one. The body of Christ was never meant to be a bunch of individuals doing wonderful things for God, and you know, with their one anointing. God has designed it in such a way that the body of Christ functions, that we have accountability so that no one gets deceived. Okay, that's what church is there for, so that God can speak to all of us at the same time. If you want to know where the church is going, you know, go to intercession. Find out from the people that are praying the church. Come to church. That's where the church is going. If you sit in your room and you come up with a revelation, maybe, you know, this is what I'm going to go do, but, you know, you're here in the church. God speaks through the church, because he doesn't want you to be deceived. He doesn't want the church to be deceived. That's how God works, and he wants us to be of one mind. The statement for this church, the purpose statement for Shofar, is to reach nations and generations through disciple-making, leadership development, and church planting. And if you're in this church and you don't know that, then you've missed the heart of this church. It's to reach the nations through disciple-making. Jesus said, "Go into the world and make disciples of all men, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." Okay, through leadership development. So taking someone that has come into the church, maybe they just need discipleship. Maybe they just got saved that day. Maybe they need someone to walk a long road with them. But we need to take those people and get them from A to Z. Okay, and that's a process. But if you committed, God is committed to helping you along the way. And the reason that I'm standing up here tonight is because someone was committed to making sure that I get to my full potential in God, that I reach your full potential, because they saw that from the beginning. I wouldn't be here tonight if it wasn't for the body of Christ. And actually, it's amazing, because when I finished studying, I had this amazing job offer in Johannesburg, and I was meant to go, and I just said, "God, I need to stay in Stellenbosch." And I knew it in my heart, because I said, "I need to grow in the church. I will not make it on my own. I will not make it out there. If I leave the church now, I will fall away." And you know what? God honored that. He gave me a job from no job. I mean, the guy didn't even have work for me, and just said, "I want to employ you." And it's just amazing when you ask God, when you that situation, then God actually just answers your prayer, because his heart is that each one of us will come to the same place that Jesus was at, that that he can know that I've done the will of the Father, that I've fulfilled my purpose on this earth. Because God wants us to fulfill it. If it's just 1 year or 3 years, whatever it takes. Like Paul says, I love it when Paul, the end of his ministry, I think it's in 2 Timothy, written it down somewhere, 2 Timothy 4, 6-7, where Paul says that I finished the race, that I fought the good fight, and I've kept the faith. And maybe some of us, we need to start fighting that good fight. Because you know what? The moment you become a Christian, it doesn't necessarily get easier. And some of us need to begin to fight for the relationships in our life. We need to begin to fight for one another so that God can complete the work that he started. Because God is into relationship. And maybe some of us have been hurt here in the church, but God wants to restore those relationships. God wants us to come alongside one another, carry one another, so that God's purposes can be fulfilled on earth and we can reflect the glory of God. In John 17, 20-23, I read, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who believe in me through the word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. It is through the church, through our reflection of God the Father, that we are one in Jesus, that he is the head and we are the body, that we reflect to this world, so that they can know that God has sent us. And the glory which you gave me, I give them, that they may be one just as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved me as you love them as you have loved me. Jesus desires that we should be one as he and the Father one, so that we may reflect the glorious union of God and Jesus, God the Father and Jesus. If we don't have love for one another, we cannot reflect that. We cannot reach the nations. We cannot change this world. And it starts here. It starts with one another. It starts with relationship. If we are not in unity, how can God bless us? If we're not of the same vision, the same purpose here in London, how can we reach the city? If we just come to church to receive maybe a bit of fellowship, a bit of edification, some of the word, we go out, nothing's changed. And when you come here with the purpose to know that this body, this is God's plan. Right here in front of me tonight, this is God's A plan on the earth, is the body of Christ to reach the nations. Starts here. Starts with you and me, and every one of us has a role to play. The amazing thing is our human nature is to avoid conflict, isn't it? We run away from it. We don't like to resolve things. It's not in us. If there's a problem, especially men, I don't know, maybe it's a lot of pride, but we kind of like to keep it all inside, you know. It will work out later on. We'll sort it out on the rugby field. But there's no, I don't play rugby, Archer. You can't do that like you did in Stellenbosch. There's no grass in London. I don't know, you play one-on-one or what do you do? But, you know, it's like I said, like Paul said, we need to begin to stand up and fight for the relationships that God has given us here in the body of Christ. And it's amazing when I think back, all my best friends that I made since I became a Christian, and I had to give up friends that friendships I built up for years, because God just said, you're just cutting away. I want you to be grafted into the body of Christ. I want you to find your place there. It's not in the world. It's not in the pubs anymore. You need to come here. And you know what? In the beginning, it was tough. You know what? I said, God, this is tough for me, and I'm giving up a lot here. God just said, I'm faithful. Look and see what I'll do. And you know, my best friends today, they're all from the first home group that I ever went to. Those are my best friends. And you know, it's amazing. And they just have the open door to speak into my life and say, you know, sort this out. And we need to begin to have that open door in each other's lives. To be honest. Just to be honest. You know, how's it going? No, it's going so well. God is so blessing me. The Lord is good. But this guy is going through, just wants you to ask him how are you doing? They're going through hell. They're going through the hardest time in their lives. And we need to begin to just take a focus a little bit off ourselves and just say, you know, how are you doing? What's happening in your life? And see how God's going to restore relationships. God speaks through his body. I mentioned that already. Okay, that's his plan A. In the day of Pentecost, they were all in one accord. And then God's glory manifested. Okay, they went out there with one mind and one spirit in charge. And what happened? You, me, today. This church is built on the foundations of the apostles. What they went out that day because of the unity and the agreement that they had. And God wants us to have that agreement. When we begin to pray for things, okay, when we begin to think about, Lord, how are we gonna reach the city? God, how are we gonna reach people so that they can know Jesus, that they can have the relationship that we have? Because you know what? This relationship is not for me alone. If it was for me alone, you know, I'll just go sit somewhere else and I'll be quite happy, you know, in Stellenbosch, riding my mountain bike in the mountains, like Andreas always says. You know, when he says that, then my heart goes a bit soft. But the thing is, God wants us, God wants us to understand that if you're here, then you're here with a purpose. Because you can easily just come and say, well, Lord, I'm just here for a few years. And that's great. Maybe you are just here for a few years. But you know what? Find your purpose and fulfill your destiny in the city, even if it's just for 1 year or 2 years or 3 years. Slot in. Understand what the purpose of this church is. Because, I mean, we're just one church in the body of Christ. We are just a foot, you know, but that foot is filled with ligaments and sinews and tissue and all of that. And every one of us is one of those parts. And that foot cannot function properly if we're not all working together properly. And it's amazing. I was just, Debs and I were talking the other day about friends. Because when we came over, it was, I remember it was quite tough because we built up really amazing friendships and relationships in South Africa. And it was hard to leave those behind. And we came here and had to, you know, build new relationships. And but it's so amazing. I was just saying, in every one of the friends that God has placed around us, there's something so unique about that person. And it's like God has given each one of them different aspects that speak into our lives. And I just remember, it was the beginning of last year, I can't remember, but we wanted to buy property. And then someone I went and spoke to and said, you know, what do you think about this? And they said, no, run. And I thought, okay, you know, it's a bit tough word. You know, I'm struggling with myself. I want to buy, I want to own, you know. But you know what? It was amazing. He was just honest. He just said, no, don't. What are you doing? Duh. You know, you're going to hit your head. And I was just, okay, but I mean, it was a tough word, but I received it. And you know what? Today, I'm grateful. Grateful because he was honest with me and he was truthful. And we need to begin to be honest and truthful with one another. Edify the body of Christ. Question. I like my questions. How many of us think that one day we will be in the ministry? Okay. Maybe half a hand. Don't know. Okay, Ephesians 4:11-16. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, listen to this, for the work of the ministry. You are the ministry of God here in London. It's your job to go and preach the gospel to the city. Okay, Andreas, David, myself, JP, whoever, Alistair, whoever else is preaching, the Bible school teachers, there's quite a few of you here tonight. We're just teaching. We're just sharing the word of God. But we can only do so much. Andreas can only do so much. He's only one person. But it's our job. Okay? We just, the church is here to equip everyone else. The leaders, the teachers and the preachers are just here to equip you to do the work of the ministering. For the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of the deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love. Okay. May grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole, every single one of you. It doesn't matter if you think, Lord, but I don't have that. I don't have this. God, when I pray, God, it feels like I'm praying against the roof, or I don't get visions. But God's got a plan for every single person. And the thing is to actually ask God, Lord, what is my purpose here in this church? What is my purpose in London? The role of the pastors and the teachers is to equip the saints for the work of the ministry so that the saints can edify the body, so that we can all come to the unity of the faith. It only happens when we all are involved. He wants us all to grow up into Christ Jesus and stand on solid ground. Lord doesn't want us to be little children anymore. He wants us to grow up, to stop drinking baby milk. Okay, the Lord wants us to take responsibility for the gifts that He's given us. The Lord wants us to take responsibility of our place in the body of Christ. In Romans 12, 3 to 13, I'm going to read, "For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we being many are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another." I love that part. That we are one members of one another, that we belong to one another. It's like the movie, have you seen it, Stuck on You with Matt Damon? You know, when the two Siamese twins are stuck at the hip? Have you seen that? It's an absolutely hilarious movie. But they have to do everything together, and they even go on dates together. It's like crazy. How do you even do that? I mean, and that's, I thought, like, that's actually how it's supposed to be. We must be almost stuck on each other. Not that we, you know, you don't go to the toilet with one another and things like that. But the point is, you know, that what we do together. When we pray together. We are one voice, one song, one focus, one vision, one purpose. Okay? And I just thought, maybe we almost put like bands around two people, and they have to just go out for a week and just hang around, just be with each other. Just obviously, you know, guys, couples, and girls, and if you're not married, of course. Otherwise, you know, it could be problems. Where was I? Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. So God's given each one of us gifts. And if you don't know what your gift is, you need to pray and ask God, and even trust your home group. Just say, look, I don't really know. But just, God is faithful. Say, Lord, well, how do you want to use me? How do you want to use me in the body of Christ? Because I've got a purpose here. God's got a plan with you. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophesy, let us prophesy. In proportion to our faith or ministry, let us use them. Use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in the tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, and distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. We are dependent on one another. We need one another. We are all part of the body of Christ. When God looks down, He doesn't see individuals. He doesn't see individual anointings. He doesn't see individual people doing wonderful big works for God. He sees a body doing all of God's works. And if one area is lacking, then the body is not fulfilling its role. And we are just one part of the body of Christ. Shofar Christian Church is just one part of the body of Christ. But what we do, we need to do 100% well. I mean, I remember I had dislocated shoulder quite a few years ago, and I really struggled with it. And I went, I still played rugby, and I was dislocating it, and I eventually had to stop playing. But you know what? And then I went to gym, and I gymed quite seriously for about 2 years. And it's amazing how the body tries to compensate, because I couldn't do bench press properly and all this stuff. I developed a massive, like, lump of a muscle right there, where the joint is actually supported. It's like the body just overcompensated. You know what? The shoulder was sort of, it's not really the same. It's weird. But it's the same in the body of Christ. When one area is not working properly, the body of Christ can't function properly. God's glory can't be reflected properly. The people out there, when they look at us, what they need to see is Jesus. They need to see God. They need to see the love that we have for one another, that we share with one another. That's what God wants us to reflect. That's what God wants to show the world. If one part of the body is suffering, it affects the whole body. I've already said that. And that's why it's important for us to restore those people that are going through difficult times. Walk alongside them. Disciple people. Make it your goal this year to walk a road with maybe a younger Christian. Or just someone that's found it really hard to maybe adapt to London life. Make an effort to go to that person and say, I'm going to hang out with you. We're going to get through this. You're going to be fine. You know, I mean, it's amazing. That's what happened with me. That's why I'm standing here today, is because someone said, that guy, I'm going to make an effort with him. You know, when I was going through difficult times in the first year, yes, I was on fire for God in many ways, but it was challenging. I had to give up a lot. You know, and it was amazing every time. that something came along, there was an obstacle, then I'll get a call from someone. Hey, do you want to go for a McDonald's ice cream? I'm like, okay, cool, you know, go for an ice cream. And it's amazing. Then we just chat, and I tell them this is what's going on. We just need to be honest and open with one another. And finally, stretch out your hands. In John 21, 18 to 19, most assuredly I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you're old, you will stretch out your hands and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, follow me. So Jesus is speaking to Peter. So this is a follow-on from what I started with. So that's the final thing. So Jesus says to Peter, you love me. Feed my lambs. Tend my sheep. Feed my sheep. And then he says to him, now, most assuredly I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you're old, you will stretch out your hands and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, now follow me. And it's quite amazing because then Peter still, he says, but what about John? Lord, you've spoken to me and I'm feeling bad about it now and all this. But what about John? He says, forget about John. Don't worry what the person next to you, in front of you, alongside of you, where their walk is now with God. What you need to do is you need to follow me. You stretch out your hands and let me lead you where you do not wish to go. Okay? So that's amazing. When you actually, when you come to that place, and that's why I asked in the beginning, do you love, when the Lord, if he had to step in here tonight and say, do you love me? Could we say that? Could we say, Lord, I'm willing to hold up my hand. I'm willing to go wherever you want me to go. I'm willing to do what you want me to do. Or are we fulfilling our own purpose in life? Are we here just going through life, just doing one thing after the other that's important to us? Or are we doing what's important to God, the body of Christ, the kingdom of God, reaching the nations, changing this world? And I know this is a tough word. I mean, on every single one of the questions, I don't pass either. Okay, I'm absolutely flunked out completely. But you know what? We have to start somewhere. And I think maybe for some of us tonight, it's just coming to the place like Peter did and just say, God, Jesus, what I have tonight for you is just filial love. It's all I've got. It's all I can give you. I can't come to that. I'm not at that place yet. I'm not at the place to be able to give you that love that is committed for life, that's surrendered completely to your purpose. But maybe that's what we need to do. We just need to start from that one place and say, God, but I'm willing to learn. I'm willing to follow you. I'm willing to go, even though I'm only at this place now. The amazing thing with Peter in his ministry, do you know that it was later in his writings that he spoke of agape love 9 times. He began to understand what it meant to truly love Jesus. And you know what? He gave his life for it. He gave his life for the gospel because he believed with everything in him that what he was doing was for the glory of God. Everything. And he got hung upside down on a cross. We know that. But, and I just think how much grace God had for Peter. How much grace he had for him. You know, Peter walked alongside him. He was with him for 3 years. He saw the miracles. He saw what Jesus did. He was there in Gethsemane. He saw everything that Jesus went through. He got taken away. He got beaten. He got tortured. All that stuff. He saw it all happen. Jesus still told him how many times, but I have to die, you know, so that I can send my spirit and then you will go on. You know, he commissioned them. And yet, what did they do? What did Peter do? He denied him. He said, I don't know him. And the only person there was John. Only person. That's why Peter said, John, I want you to look after my mother. Okay, John understood something about agape love. Peter walked away. How many of us have walked away? How many of us, God has said, this is the calling on your life. This is what I have in store for you. This is what I want you to do. And we just walked away. But you know what's amazing? So Peter went away with the disciples and they hid because they were scared. They hid away. Then Jesus resurrected and he came and he met with them. They're all amazed. You know what? He commissioned them. He said, go into the world. What did they do? Nothing. They went, stayed in the little room. Nothing changed. Then he came a second time, showed them, I think it was Timothy, put his fingers in his hands. He said, look, from the cross. Okay? So and then he performed miracles. And yet still, they stayed where they were. He commissioned them, but they stayed again. They didn't do anything. They've seen the miracles, raised from the dead, and nothing's changed. Jesus goes away. What do? They go fishing. Okay? Maybe. And I just think, like, after all of that, they still go do that. And then what does Jesus do? He's so gracious. God is so good. He goes back, goes down to the sea, and they catch an amazing catch of fish. I mean, they must have been thinking, wow, this is awesome. We're going to retire on this stuff. You know, it's great. Everything is looking up for us. It's, you know, and then they see Jesus, and wow, he's there. It's all awesome. He's put a fire. I mean, I just imagine Jesus probably went, fire, there it is. You know, and then he's like, why did they even have to barbecue the fish? He could have just done it. Like, there it is. I mean, it was looking up. I mean, there's Jesus. And now it's like old times. You know, we can perform miracles, could hang out with them, and it's going to be great. You know, it's changed a couple of loaves of bread and feed thousands. But Jesus didn't come back for that. He came back for Peter and just said, Peter, do you love me? And maybe some of us are still fishing tonight. Maybe some of us are catching nothing because we've not come to the place of stretching out our hands to be led by Jesus. We haven't surrendered our lives to that place so that we can also serve the body of Christ, that we can serve the purposes of God where we are here in London. Are we living for ourselves or are we living for the body of Christ? Are we prepared to love Jesus the same way that he loved us? So I hold before you tonight, just to be honest with God. So I ask Gibby to just come up and... So I hold this before you tonight. Just to be honest with God. Lord, maybe I'm not at the place like... Yeah, maybe like John or maybe like someone else that you know. But Lord, this is where I'm at, God. I'm not ready to give up everything, God. I'm not ready to just stretch out my hands and say, God, take me where you want me to go. I'm not there yet. But the Lord just wants us to be honest with him. He just wants us to be truthful. Because God can work with honest people. God's not looking for perfect people. No one is perfect, okay? If you find the perfect church, run away, okay? But we also need to come to a place understanding of who Christ is and the love that he has for us, the love that he's shown us through the cross. And we need to share that love with one another so that the world can see the love of God through our lives and the love that we share for each other. So I'm just going to ask us all just to stand tonight as we end off. I just want us to all just come before the Lord tonight and just be honest. Jesus is here tonight. He says, do you love me? Do you agape me? Will you surrender your life to me? Will you devote your life to following me? Are you ready to care for one another? Are you ready to lay your life down for the sheep? Are you ready to be a shepherd of your brother, of your sister? And I just want us just to be honest before God tonight. And also tonight, if you have an offense in your heart, if you are offended with someone, if someone has hurt you, I want you to bring that before God tonight. And we're just going to trust God that he will heal because he is faithful. But you know what? You need to take that first step. Father, we thank you, Lord, for who you are, God. We thank you, God, that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever, Lord. That your name is above every other name, God. And Lord, yeah, Lord, we are so desperate for your grace, God. so desperate for you in our lives, God. Lord, come into our hearts tonight, God. Lord Jesus, come and change us, Lord. Into your image, God. Lord, where there's been hurt, God, I pray in the name of Jesus, God, for restoration, God. I pray for healing. I pray that, Lord, you will restore relationships in the body of Christ, Lord, in this church, God, and the church universally, Lord, in the name of Jesus, God. Lord, I pray, God, that every person in the here tonight, Lord, would be honest with you, God. We bring their hearts before you, Lord. And that, Lord, I thank you that you say in your word, if we ask for bread, you would not give us a stone, God. That you are faithful, God. That you are good. That Jesus, just as you had grace for Peter, that you have grace for us. You have got so much grace for us, God. You are so committed to us, God. We will fall 1,000 times, but you will come back every time like you did with Peter. And you just say, follow me. Just give whatever the Lord has placed in your heart. Just give that over to the Lord. Fear is not of God. Condemnation is not of God. The conviction of the Spirit is of God. He's truth. That's what He holds before you tonight. Just truth. His word. Lord, I pray, God, that you would give us the capacity, God, to love one another, Lord, as you have loved us, Lord. Show us how, God, because we don't know, God. We don't always know, God. Lord, we are just fallen beings, God, and every day in need of a Savior, Lord. Show us how to love one another and care for one another, God. To feed one another, God, faithfully, God. To be committed to restoring friendship, God. To be committed, Lord, to going the extra mile for that one sheep, God. For that one person, that one soul, that one life that you so dearly love, God. Show us how, God. And tonight, Lord, we just come. I just want all of us symbolically just hold out our hands to God. And just say, Lord, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus. We want to follow you. God, I'm not able, God, in myself to commit maybe to, Lord, to agape love. God, I don't know what devotional love is, God. But, Lord, I'm just willing to bring my heart before you. I just give you my hands as a sign, Lord, that I'm willing to, Lord, to learn. God, I'm willing to go, God, where you say go, Lord. In Jesus' name. Thank you that no fear will stand against the blood of Jesus tonight in this place. Because, Lord, your love casts out all fear, God. Your perfect love. No fear will stand in the hearts of believers tonight in this place. In the name of Jesus. God is not the God who instills fear in his people. He is the God of love. He is holy. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your faithfulness, God. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Yeah.
Father, we thank you for your word, Lord. Lord, we thank you that your word is alive, God, that it is true, God, that it's living, God, that it pierces, God, between soul and spirit, God, that it discerns, God, in the intentions of our heart, Lord. And I just really believe that God has spoken and that we need to respond. And also believe that there are many of us that's maybe like Peter, that's maybe still in a room, maybe like Thomas that is still doubting. Maybe we've gone fishing. Maybe we've gone on with what we know we're good at. Maybe we feel that we cannot really love God the way He expects us to. Maybe the agape love is just too much for us where we're at, and the only thing that we have to offer is a little bit that we've got, and it sometimes we get disillusioned. We go on fishing. We go on with our trade, with what we know we can do, and we feel we are not good enough. We feel we're not capable. We feel we are not there yet. And the amazing thing about Jesus is He met Peter at where he's at with the little bit that he's got. But it was even more amazing. He said it doesn't really matter if you have a little bit of love or you have agape love. The way we follow Jesus is exactly the same, and it starts by feeding the sheep. It starts by loving one another. It starts by reaching out to one another. It doesn't matter how much love we have, how strong our faith is. What it means to follow Jesus is to love one another, is to invest in one another, because that's what Jesus came to do. He came to love and to invest in us. And if that is you today, I don't know whether you have small faith, big faith, great love, little love. But I really believe God is challenging us tonight to reach out to one another, no matter where we're at. And I really want to give an opportunity for each one of us just to respond to that. If Jesus were here tonight, that's what He would say. He would say, follow Me. Follow Me with the little that you have. And Father, as we're here today, Lord, we just want to thank You for sending Your Son to show us the way. And Lord, I want to pray, Lord, that You would give us boldness, God, but that You would give us the conviction in our hearts like Peter, God, just to start off, God, by loving one another, God. That is what You have called us to, Lord. If you believe God has been speaking to you, I really believe we need to respond to that tonight.